Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview coming to you live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me here in the studio so far at the Valley as we look ahead to Saturday's home game with Southend United is Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Lonely.
Yeah, lonely.
Very lonely. This is what it must be like to be you all the time over that side.
Yeah, your right-hand man, Nathan Muller, is yet to show up.
Yeah.
And we will be giving him detention when he does turn up late. Apparently his job is more important than Charlton Live, which I just can't
Nonsense.
Get into that mindset, to be honest.
No.
Tom, I mean, you would never do such a thing.
No chance. Never have, never will.
Exactly. How are you? Have you enjoyed your week so far?
It's all right. Yeah, I was just saying to you there, I didn't realise Patrick Bauer had been sent off last week till you mentioned it on Sunday's show. So that shows how much attention I paid to last week's game. But yeah, it's been all right. Looking forward to this weekend and being back home for a game at the Valley. So
yeah, exactly. All right, so on tonight's show, we will be hearing from Lee Bowyer, of course. The boss had his press day earlier on today. He talked about the potential of trying to pick up some unattached players or a striker, a free agent, if he wants to try and bolster his front line. So we're going to hear from him what he had to say on that. We'll have a few little bits of general chit-chat. Then we're going to hear from Igor Vetekeli. The striker made his long-awaited return to action up at Fleetwood last week. So we're going to hear from him and his hopes for a new contract as well. Saturday is Football versus Homophobia Day here at the Valley. So I caught up with Rob Harris from the Proud Valiants to find out a little bit more. We'll hear that later on in the show then. And of course, we will concentrate on the Southend game. Nick Alaka from BBC Radio Essex lets us know what we can expect from Chris Powell's team. And then Lee Bowyer as well will provide an injury update ahead of the game as we try to put right last weekend's defeat up at Fleetwood Town. Now, of course, this time last week, it was transfer deadline day. We had Richard Corley on the phone giving us all the latest. And it turned out he was... well, he was right that we were trying to get one over the line, but of course we never did, unfortunately. So who'd have thought this time last week when we were talking about saying we hope we get a striker before the end of the show, that the show the next week, we still haven't really got one. Of course, Josh Parker came in, but no like-for-like replacement for Carlin Grant. So Lee Bayer has said he's going to be looking around in the free agent market. He's going to be trawling through the unattached players to try and find a hidden gem.
We're looking in free agent as an option. Obviously, we was doing that in the first place anyway because we didn't have any money to spend. So we had to look in that area, and there's been one or two just became more available now as free agents, and we're asking the questions. But again, it'll have to suit both parties. So it's not just our decision, you know. The lad would obviously have to want to come, but we are asking questions and seeing if there's anyone out there that's going to improve us. If they're not going to improve us, there's no point in coming in.
Are you close on anything?
Not at the moment, no. It's just been a couple of conversations with someone that's became a free agent. So and obviously people are putting names forward to us all the time now because they obviously know our situation. But like I said, it has to improve us. It has to be the right person, otherwise there's just no point.
Lee Bowyer there. So good news that we are going to be looking in the free agent market. It's one that a lot of fans have hoped that we would be trying to find a little bit of magic in. Is there a free agent walking in right now?
There is a free agent walking in right now.
Here he is. Right, okay. But, I mean, if there is one out there that can improve us, it would make sense. Here we go.
Hello.
Here he is.
Better late than never.
That's a nice little backdrop there, isn't it?
Yeah, all right, sit down, Nath. We're live on air here. You're live on Charlton Live. Please do not swear. so we just where the hell have you been?
On a southeastern train, which explains a lot, doesn't it?
Are you all right? Are you well?
Yeah, living the dream.
Yeah, did you run?
Wagner. Oh no.
Right, well, that's a bit of work for me to do after the show, the podcast, right?
Sorry.
Turns up late and starts swearing, blimey. Right.
I'm sorry, everyone. Sorry about that. Sorry.
We're talking about free agents. We just heard from Lee Bowyer there, Nathan. I mean, you're clearly not fit enough to be considered.
No, I think Gary Dockett's got more pace than me, I think.
Yeah.
Even now. But it took a while. But I don't know. I listened to Bo's post-match. I don't know what the names have been knocking around, but I think we need some though, surely.
Yeah. There's names that we've seen mentioned today, then Joe Mason, one that's released by Wolves, I think it was, although he has been linked with Plymouth.
Is that the Cardiff striker?
I think he's linked with Cardiff as well, back in the day he played for him. Jay Simpson, something that someone mentioned last week actually as well. Mm. I guess when you are now rumbling around in the rejects bin.
Bargain bin, yeah.
Yeah, there's always. I mean, you have to find the right player. And Lee Bowyer said himself, he's not going to pick up a body just for the sake of it.
Yeah, and I think that's the right thing to do, and that's been his policy with every signing he's made. And you'd argue the majority of them have been good ones. So I understand the theory. I think my concern is that we do need a body up there. And I think, like you've said there, we're not going to find that perfect player now, no matter how hard you look, because we've left it so late. But there probably are some players that we can bring in who will get us through to the end of the season, maybe get 5 or 6 goals between now and the end. We're not going to get a replacement for Carlin now. That's just not going to happen. But if we can get someone in who can at least do that, that still fits Bowyer's mantra of improving the side. And that's got to be a positive. In the meantime, we need to focus on Igor getting back to full fitness. Lyle's obviously going to be back soon, so you'd think they're going to be starting either way, and Josh Parker obviously weighing in as well. But yeah, I agree. We do need a body, but it does have to be the right person.
Yeah, and also, I mean, the likelihood is we'll be offering them a 6-month contract, the same we've done with Josh Parker, the same, of course, that we've done with Johnny Williams. Now, to some players, that might be a bit of a turn. So, as we said with Joe Mason, I saw Chris Errington from the Plymouth Herald reporting that Plymouth have offered him a contract beyond the end of this season, and it's his hometown, I believe, it's his home club. So he may look at them and think, well, that's a team where I've got more security. Although, you know, he may look at Charlton, a team that's fighting at the right end of the table, rather than Plymouth, who've definitely had a really poor start to the campaign. It depends what we can offer someone is a chance to be in the shop window. It probably will be a short contract, but also a chance to be in a part of a team that's actually doing quite well.
Yeah, I think whoever we do get in is going to be in a similar situation to Pat. If you're in a win-win situation, aren't you? If we end up doing well and going up, he's got a choice of either, you know, he'll be settled here for 6 months, he could stay on, or like you say, if we don't make it up, he can either stay with us, or he can go better things, or he can go to Plymouth. So even though security for him would be better to have a longer contract, I mean, you know, Plymouth aren't going to make the playoffs unless they do something crazy. But personally, if I was in that position, I'd rather fight for promotion and then assess the situation at the end of the year. So it's not like he's going to be shorter clubs, is he?
No, we'll see. Right, Martin says, oi, oi, Nathan just threw an F-bomb on him on Charlton Live literally seconds after Louis said, we're live, don't swear, I'm literally crying here. Sorry. I mean, that was a real liberty take, that was.
Which one, Martin Flynn or Martin Taxi?
Martin the Taxi, yeah. He's disgusted by your potty mouth. I assume he's crying sad tears there because he's disgusted at your behaviour on the show. Paul Glover saying, I'm free. Judging by the football tournament in the summer, I'm better than Mendes as well. Yeah, notoriously,
Paul
Glover.
Got a good tackle on him.
Yeah, notoriously, ooh. I was tackled by Paul Glover.
Nice.
During the game, which was a bit of a letdown. And then Martin does say Joe Mason or Jay Simpson have got to be the favourites. If not, Mikhail Kennedy might be worth a gamble. The boy knows where the goal is, of course, still in the youth team. I know he scored a couple
scored
today.
Scored the other day, didn't he?
I think it was today he scored a couple.
Yeah.
He's been out, was it an ACL I think he had? Or he certainly had a bad injury that kept him out for well over a year. And since he's come back into 23s, he's actually grabbed a couple of goals, which is good to see. So who knows? I mean, the way things go at this club, he may even get that option to have a go as well. So what we're talking about there, Lee Bowyer said he will look around in the unattached players. The only thing, Darren Bent has been ruled out by Richard Corley, and probably by...
And Darren Bent, I'd imagine.
Yeah, probably by most physicians as well. Yeah. If you look at the size of him, I mean, he is massive.
So. He didn't look that fit against those over 45 at that tournament.
That Super 6 was.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, I think we'll draw a line. Never go back, that's what I always say. And imagine if we have Darren Bent playing quality in the Premier League, then he comes back 15 years later.
In League One. And can't do it.
Yeah,
well, get Lisby while out as well. It's
mixed up with Brian Cole on a touchline as well. I don't think it's going to be right. Some other interesting quotes that came out from Lee Bowyer during today was that he said to the South London Press, Richard Corley said, "If Joe Aribo hadn't been injured during the transfer window, he may well have had bids coming in for him. Now we saw what happened with Carlin. He may well have had his head turned. Contract is up at the end of the season, so." In a way, perhaps a blessing in disguise that Joe Aribo was injured.
Yeah, and I thank whoever landed on him on his knee.
Fossey, I think it was, in training. Yeah. Good job it weren't Darren Bent. His career would have been over.
Yeah, bounced off him. as much as gutting as it has been, and I think you've noticed when he's not playing, Joe. Maybe it was a little blessing in disguise that, you know, he wasn't fit, because I think that I was expecting him more to go in January more than Carlin for me, and it's a good thing he hasn't, because I think he's improved so much, and at least we've got him till the summer at least. A bit gutting that he's not available for Saturday, but I just think he's come on leaps and bounds, and he offers us so much more in terms of composure in that middle since Jake got his injury, so big blow, but hopefully getting fit as possible.
It's interesting as well, Lee Bowyer said he's been a massive miss for us, but I mean, actually in the central midfield, it's probably one of the few areas where we're pretty well stocked at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and like Nath says, he's obviously going to be a big miss because he's a quality player, but we've got so many options in there, and I'm sure when he gets back to full fitness, he'll be one of those players that's one of the first on the team sheet. But in the meantime, you look at who we've got in there, like Cullen and Reeves and Johnny Williams and Fosu, even though he's a little bit out of form, and then you've got the likes of Lapsley and Morgan coming through. I mean, these are players that we've talked about week in, week out, because our midfield has so much depth. It's been up front that's been the problem, particularly since Carlin's left, although that has only been one game. But when either of those have been out injured or suspended as well, we've looked a little bit toothless. But that midfield is strong and remains strong, and I imagine, as Bo says, Bielik will have to drop back into defence at the weekend, but we've still got so many players that can play in there that we're not short of options, which is great. But despite that, Aribo is still a big miss.
Another player who's in that ticking time bomb of ones who hasn't got a contract sorted at the end of the season, though.
Which one's that?
Joe Aribo.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. And I don't know. How many players will we actually have if they've won, no one signed?
About 12, isn't it, I think somebody said.
Really?
Or is it less? Yeah, somebody said, and it was not many.
Next year, we're entering the same six-a-side tournament that Darren Bent was playing in the summer.
Well, it happened to Blackpool the other year when they had like four people turn up a pre-season. Yeah. So I'm hopefully something's in the pipeline, because, if we lose him on a free, I mean, I think that'd be the end of my hope, I think. Because it would just be like...
No longer
just
living the dream.
Yeah, it was just like, we'll end up getting Bent back, Doherty, Pringle, we'll get them all back, won't we?
Yeah.
But hopefully something gets sorted. But I suppose this says something about contracts there. Some are moving and stuff, like deals and stuff, but... Just have to wait and see, I suppose, won't we?
Yeah, it is what it is, I think, is the catchphrase we're going for there. Tweet came in from Liam. He said, relying on freebies again. In the words of the great man, F that, Nathan. So at least you've been described as a great man in this case.
I've been called worse.
Well, you will do as soon as we go off air, mate. When I start my disciplinary procedure.
Oh.
another thing, of course, is coming up on Saturday. Always nice to see a returning hero coming back. Christy Powell, manager of Southend. It's weird now. It's sort of like it's the third time he's come back now as a manager. Obviously, we've played him away at their place as well. So it is now we just give him a little clap and send him on his way, hopefully with no points as well. But it is always nice to see him coming back, and adds a little bit of extra something to that fixture for some people.
Definitely. I think for most people, because he's the word legend gets used so much, especially in sport, but he really is a Charlton legend, not only as a player, but then what he did as a manager as well. And you're not going to forget that. Obviously, on Saturday, as soon as the whistle blows, you want Charlton to smash him and get all 3 points like they did when he first came back here with Huddersfield. But he deserves a huge reaction, because what he did for this club at a time that was, at the time, one of the darkest periods, although that might have been overtaken now, but we were really struggling. And, you know, the interviews he gave at points after, talking about just how obsessed we were with the fact that we'd been in the Premier League, and he managed to clear it all out and start from afresh. You know what he's done here, and he deserves all that praise. And as I say, I'm sure he'll get a brilliant reaction when he comes out. But as soon as the whistle goes, it's just another game, and we need to beat them. So
yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? When he comes back, I'm sure we'll get messages on Sunday saying, "Oh, I was a bloody love him for Chris Powell," despite the fact that he'll get a clap. Then everyone will be cheering if we beat him at the end of the day as well. But it will be nice to see him. He's actually, don't know, not having the greatest of seasons down at Southend, as we'll hear from Nick Alica from BBC Radio Essex later on. Now, someone who is managerially having a very good season is, of course, Lee Bowyer. And it's the third time that we've got to say this on a Thursday show, and the third time it will also be out of date by the Friday morning when most people listen to it, because he gets announced on a Friday morning. But Bowyer's up for Manager of the Month again. Unlikely to get it, we think, this month, with Derek Adams of Plymouth, Mick Harford from Luton, who's done an amazing job, Stuart McCall at Scunny as well. But it just shows that, I said it last week as well, we sort of get carried away with the fact that, because we've had a difficult end to the transfer window and we've now had a defeat as well against Fleetwood Town, it is easy to forget that we are actually having quite a good season in the circumstances in particular.
Yeah, of course. And I think what Bowes has done throughout the whole season has been brilliant. You look at the budgets in comparative to, say, Sunderland, who's just spent £4 million on someone. I think, yeah, throughout the season, he's done amazing. And I hope he doesn't get in, it'll be an honourable. But I think the last time, didn't we lose last time he won it? Isn't there the curse of this?
Yeah, last time he came here, yeah. Last time he won it, yeah, I think we lost the next game.
Did we lose, like, was it Scunthorpe?
I remember losing.
Yeah, it may well have been
something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully we don't, because it's just the curse, isn't it? Well, it's a myth, but it always seems to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Now, perhaps more surprisingly, I don't mean this, you know, no offence to, no disrespect, Nathan. It's a good job you weren't disrespecting people this week, but you're effing and blinding.
I know, I was very apologetic on Sunday, wasn't I?
Yeah, Ben Purrington has been nominated for the PFA Player of the Month Award. Now, up against James Collins from Luton, Andy Cook from Walsall, Ruben Lemires from Plymouth, Alex Mowat from Barnsley, and Matthew Pearson from Luton Town. Now, I'm not saying he's done anything wrong, but it sort of surprised me slightly. He's hasn't really jumped off the page. He's been a solid left back, which is exactly what we've needed. But he hasn't really, you know, he hasn't slalomed from the left back position and sent one into the top corner just yet, has he?
Not yet, he hasn't. No, but give him time. But I think he's come in and done exactly what we've asked. He's a functional left back. He does that job very well, and it's his specialist position, which we just didn't have anyone there. But yeah, he's not set the world alight, and it's difficult to do that in that position. But you think back to the likes of Jada Silva, who we had last year. I don't know if he ever got nominated for it. And you think of him tearing up the pitch and taking players on, and he's got little tricks and flicks and pace. He seemed to offer a lot more versatility in that position. Again, that's no disrespect to Ben Purrington, because he's done his job pretty well, and it's good that we've got him in. But yeah, it is a strange one. You'd argue likes of Naby Sarr in defence, if you're going to pick out a defender for standout performances over the last month, you'd think he would be more likely to get it. So it's a strange one, but good luck to him, I guess.
And the more important role, in fact, in what he's playing is actually just giving that balance to the defence again, with Solly being able to go over to the right-hand side. It just makes us look a bit more comfortable. You know, the goal we conceded at Fleetwood was the first one we conceded in 4.5 games almost. So we have looked a lot more solid at the back now.
Yeah, he's come in, and like Tom said, he's just a standard. I mean, I think Wally Downs come in and he did say, you know, he'll give you a 7 out of 10 every week, which, you know, he's done. I mean, for his nomination, maybe it's because he's come from Wimbledon to a top six side, had a few clean sheets. But like Tom said, I think the whole defence have earned it. But yeah, the balance has definitely improved. I know Nabs made a couple of appearances out there for like 30 seconds against Wimbledon or whatever, but yeah, I think he's definitely brought that balance, and we look a lot more in control of games. I think sometimes when Solly was cutting on his right, and understandably so, it was just so easy to read from a defensive point of view. So we know he's not going to be, like Tom said, about like De Silva and, you know, just running down that wing. But, you know, he is what it is. He does what he says under 10, doesn't he? So, yeah, hopefully he wins it. But, I mean, those names you've got in there, James Collins for one, probably win it for me.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. Still to come, we're going to hear from Igor Vetticelli on his return to the first team action. In a few moments' time, we're going to hear from Rob Harris from the Proud Valiants, with Saturday's game designated as the football versus homophobia game. Then we're going to hear from Nick Alica from BBC Radio Essex, who's going to tell us all about the Shrimpers ahead of their visit to the Valley on Saturday. And then Lee Bowyer will give us the latest injury update. We'll be back here on Charlton Live in 30 seconds.
have hit the crossbar twice in the space of 2 minutes. Well, space of a minute, actually. Cullen again with the corner.
I think.
Was it Aribo?
I think so, yeah.
Ball into the box again. Again, it's a tight one. Again, it drops this time. It drops to Solly. And there! Chris Solly has equalised.
Get in there.
And Charlton are back on level terms. The dropping ball struck by Chris Solly, buried into the right-hand side of the keeper. And Charlton are back on level terms.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. I've just given Nathan a beating for his swearing on air. We don't allow that in this studio. I'm just so disappointed, Nathan, that you turn up late and B, you start swearing all over the gaff.
Sound like my mother. Hello, Mum, is that you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. That's all right. That's all right. Did you enjoy your time on Charlton Live, by the way?
I did, yes.
This is your last show.
Is this my P45 time?
Yeah. Did I get paid?
Oh, I've let one go. Sorry, then.
Ruining everything tonight. Right, let's hear from Igor Vetukale. Of course, with Lyle Taylor still out suspended, with Carlin Grant gone, there's a lot of spaces to fill up top at the moment. Igor Vetukale came back into action during the defeat up at Fleetwood Town on Saturday after, I think it was 11 weeks out with his shoulder injury. Despite the result, of course, we lost 1-0. He was pleased to get back into the thick of things after his layoff.
Yeah, felt good to be back on the pitch. I was out for 11 weeks, so I'm coming from far, but doing my best to get back now as fast as possible, and a little bit that we lost the game today, but I'm going to work hard, and hopefully next week we can come in again.
Are you back a little bit earlier than you thought you would be, given the extent of your injury?
Yeah, they told me it was going to take 12, 13 weeks, but I got back after 11 weeks. On Tuesday, I played under 23 games. I'm good with the way the injury went.
But you were desperate to come on today, but in better circumstances also, I guess. I mean, the pitch probably wasn't great for a player like yourself, but getting time on the pitch must be at least what you were hoping for.
Yeah, it's a good step to get some minutes under the belt, and I'm going to keep on working to get that fitness and that sharpness back so that I can try and help the team.
And for you personally, obviously Carlin leaving leaves that bit of a gap up top with Lyle. It'll be a place you're looking to take, I guess.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best anyway, yeah. That's why I'm here for. Fortunately, Carlin left us, but we get just who came in also, and we're going to compete again for the positions.
And the fans, you know how much they love you, and I bet you're hoping to get back to the scoring form that made you such a darling at a Valley crowd.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best to get back to my old form and give them something back, yeah.
And what would be your take on the season then? I mean, a setback today, still in the top six, of course, and you'll be hopeful with the rest of the side that we can still grab that promotion.
Yeah, there's still 15 games left, so now it's all about getting as much points as possible, and and we'll see at the end of the season.
Okay, well, tough luck today, but congratulations on getting back.
Thank you.
So with your long spell out, was it quite difficult? I know Josh Cullen had the same injury, and he said it can be quite frustrating when you're on the sidelines for such a long amount of time.
It is. I had a different operation than Joshua. Mine took a little bit longer, and it was frustrating in the beginning. First 5 weeks, I think I could barely do something, and you just feel useless, actually, and that's why I'm glad to be back now.
And just looking ahead beyond the end of this season, because your contract's coming to an end, but it seems like you and your family are quite settled in London. Have you thought about what you would like to do personally at the end of the year?
I'm open for anything, but I won't lie, my family is enjoying London and me too, so we'll see how it will be.
Would you like to stay at Charlton if it was possible?
If it's possible, yeah, we can always discuss it. Yeah.
There we go, Igor Vetekele saying he would love to stay at Charlton beyond the end of his current contract. Now, whether he gets offered a new one, will be a different story, because as you can imagine, he joined the club when we were in a championship club and we were throwing money in around willy-nilly, if you excuse the coarse language, Nathan. So if he were to stay, I dare say he'd have to negotiate a little bit of a lighter contract.
Mm. And it's down to how much he wants to disrupt that family. He's just had another baby.
Congratulations.
As well,
the baby arrived yesterday. Congratulations to Igor and to Sarah.
So you'd think with that family, you know, there's that balance between not wanting to unsettle them, making sure he gets a wage that he feels happy with, the club that he wants to be at. So there's a number of things that he's got to think about, as a lot of players do. I'd like him to stay, but he just needs to find that form. And he's never really found it again since the injury. And it's a shame, because when he did first come in, he really looked like a dangerous championship player. And the fact he hasn't really been able to, and I know he's been a bit stop-start, it's been so frustrating, and I'm sure it has for him as well. But with the Carlin going, and at the moment no real striker coming back in, if he could get 7 or 8 games in a row and play, then maybe he can play his way back into form. The issue for us is that we haven't really got the time to allow a player to do that, because we're in the hunt for the playoffs and we need people to hit the ground running, and we need goals from players that are playing. So I don't know, if Bose has got the time to bed him in, then maybe he can find that form. And if he does, then I'd like him to stay.
Yeah, glove up tweeting in his Igor. Nathan Miller in disguise after he swore in his interview as well, but I knew that was coming, so I'd already bleeped it out. I mean, you really are a bad example, don't you?
I
to the playing stuff. I mean, Igor knew what was coming on Saturday, so he swore just in advance because he knew what you were going to do, Nathan. His performances, obviously, since when he first arrived at the club compared to now, he's had his injury problems and they've really been a massive setback to him. And it's difficult to say what he needs to do to find that form that he had 4 years ago, because if we can get him back to those performances that he was showing when he was first here, I mean, he could be a massive asset, especially if he does get the game time now, as Tom was sort of saying.
Yeah, I think if I think back to, you know, his first game against Brentford, I remember standing there thinking, oh, we've got a little player here, and then he sort of broke down with his Achilles, and then you could tell he wasn't fit, but and he was being played, and then I think it was Luton he played away with Lyle, and I thought he had a good game. Like he's built up play and that sort of stuff, and then he broke down again. So I think it's key, like Tom said, if he gets an amount of games, he should be a good asset. He's on his day, he's too good for this league, but he's so far away in terms of fitness and sharpness. Is 15 games enough? I mean, even if you get, like Tom said, if you give him 7-8 games and he builds up, you're halfway through the remainder left of the season. So it's going to be hard. But yeah, for sure, if he gets fit quickly and he has this mini pre-season, as Bo's put it, then yeah, he can be an asset for sure.
Do you think if he was able to have a run of games this season without the injuries that we've seen him have, then now that he is more settled in London with his wife and his kids, and you know, that can be a big part for a player. We saw with Naby Sarr, you know, the difference between how Naby Sarr was when he was first here and he was uncomfortable in a strange country, didn't know what was going on in a difficult level of football as well, to where he is now. And if Igor can, maybe Igor should speak to Nabs and find out what the secret is to get to become so much more relaxed at the club, and then let his football do the talking after that.
And it's going to be a huge part of his decision. Obviously, it comes down to us actually offering him a contract in the first place, but there is a lot of factors, and it's easy for us on the sidelines to sit there and think that choice is easy, but I'm sure it isn't. And especially when, as you say, he's come over from another country and he's had to settle here. You hear so many times about that not working out with players all across the football pyramid. So it does seem like he's settled. It does seem like he likes the club. I think the fans have still got a lot of love for him, and just kind of want him to succeed. He's not someone who we're too frustrated with or have turned on, which has happened with other players. And the frustrating thing, as we've both said, is he needs a chance and he needs time. And I'm not sure whether we can give him that time towards the end of the season, but he might not need it. If he comes in and plays a couple of games and scores in those games and finds that confidence, then maybe he can kick on and do well towards the end of this season. But as I said at the start, I'd very much like him to stay.
Tempted to give him a start on Saturday, just because needs must in a way. I mean, Rico struggled up at Fleetwood, and obviously Josh Parker came on and was okay for 25 minutes or so.
Yeah, I'd probably just still stick Josh up there on his own. He's had a week's training. I don't know Igor's how fit he is now, but I think if he's off the pace, I don't think he's not really going to offer much, and you're going to have to end up wasting a sub on him anyway. So I'd probably start with Josh, but you never know. Bowyer might surprise us all and play both of them. You never know.
We'll see. Right, let's have another quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, still plenty of stuff to talk about. We're going to hear from Rob Harris from the Proud Valiants up next. She loves looking at us all, and she don't need no one else. She just wanna get that shot, if I'm in or if I'm not. She doesn't care, she's in love with a cat. And Williams exchange passes. Williams drifts past his man, ball in the box. It's an awkward one. Taylor controls. Taylor trying to pass it back to Prattley. He's strong!
Oh, my word! Taylor Prattley! What a strike from the Charlton midfielder on the edge of the box. Touchdown by Lyle Taylor. And Darren Prattley unleashes a hell of a strike past Arnold down to his left. Could do nothing about that one.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here. The big match preview on Maritime Radio. Looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Southend United. I just had a tweet come in from Dean saying, Igor Vitekele is a quality player with Lyle's form. There's no reason why Igor can't start banging in goals immediately. Because that's another thing. Like, again, we've said it for Josh Parker. I mean, if Igor gets to play up top alongside Lyle Taylor, there's no reason why he won't bring Igor into the game. I remember that partnership he had with Tony Watt. It was a great partnership, and when they were setting up chances for each other, they were scoring. So if he can get into a good solid partnership as well, then that could help his game as well.
Get himself a move to Huddersfield if he's lucky.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, that is a long way to go when you've just had a kid. Right, Saturday here at the Valley, the game has been designated as the football versus homophobia game against Southend. So I caught up with Rob Harris from the Proud Valiants, the Charlton Athletic LGBT supporters club, to find out a little bit more.
The Saturday match is really, really important. This year, Football versus Homophobia is celebrating its 10th anniversary. And at Charlton, we've got so many events happening to actually celebrate diversity within the sport. We've got penalty kickouts at the start, rainbow-coloured flags on the corner flags. We've also got on-screen interviews. And then the match is going to be followed by a post-reception where we'll have a number of speakers, including Paul Mortimer, who last year became our patron. And the events are happening up and down the country. They're really important because they keep issues around homophobia and sport in the limelight, especially at Charlton. You know, for us, it's really important if there's a young guy or girl who are trying to come to terms with their sexuality, or, for example, you know, maybe a trans member who doesn't feel comfortable coming to the Valley as who they are rather than their birth name. You know, events like this show that they're not alone, that there are people there, that, you know, there are people that can speak to. And it's something that we're really, you know, excited about getting involved with the club with.
Obviously, the Proud Valiants have been going for a few years now. I think back in 2015 they were launched. So you must be pleased with the progress that the group is making. I noticed before the Peterborough game, there was a meet-up with your opposite numbers from Peterborough, and of course nominated for a Football Supporters Federation Award just before Christmas as well. So the group seems to be going from strength to strength.
Yeah, I mean, we you know, last year was an amazing year for us. We had our football versus homophobia tournament during this off-season, where we even had, I believe you came along to play for.
Yeah.
We had some just amazing events last year. We're also going to be very proud to be given the inaugural Fans for Diversity Awards to somebody this Saturday. It's something that we've had long chats with the Football's Supporters Federation about launching a new award for people that have made special stances within the sport against homophobia. And we're really proud that we're going to be presenting the first one. And yeah, last year was amazing. It ended up with us going and, you know, being nominated for an award. Sadly, we didn't win it. We're going to this year. But yeah, no, it was just a terrific year. And as I say, us going from strength to strength. And all we, you know, the people we have to thank for this is the club, the players, the manager, but also all the fans. The fans, you know, have been absolutely amazing. And the support we've had from you guys too. You know, it really means a lot to us.
And it's up to 55 members now, the group. So the fact that there is such a big community have come together for this shows that, you know, LGBT people have always been going to football. And I guess its attitudes changing over the years will mean that more and more will want to come in the future as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, we're up to 55 members. I would say, you know, from what I know, 32 of them identify as somewhere on the LGBTQI spectrum. You know, football has, you know, the Valley has always been a welcoming venue for people to come to, you know, but I think now people know that, you know, they should feel safe in stadiums. They should feel that they can come and be themselves and, you know, enjoy the match. I mean, ultimately, when it boils down to it, we're all there for the same reason. We're there because we love Charlton. We want to see Charlton get promoted this year. And, you know, it's really, you know, football is a sport for all and it should be welcoming to all. And, you know, the work we do with Proud Valiants and, you know, the work that there's organisations doing up and down the country, you know, will eventually mean that a stadium is a place that everyone can come and feel friendly.
There we go, Rob Harris from the Proud Valiants, really nice chap. We've met him hundreds of times. He's been on the show a couple of times as well before to talk about the Proud Valiants and yeah, growing in membership, 55 members. The same night that we were nominated for the podcast award with the Football Supporters Federation, they were nominated for an award around the field of diversity. I think it was Spurs who won their category, mm-hmm. but again, just to be nominated was obviously really good and shows the good work that they're doing, and like I say, 55 members in a few years is actually quite impressive considering, you know, you start from nothing, and it just means that there's now 55 extra people who know that there's no reason why they couldn't come to the football and just be themselves.
Yeah, exactly. I think obviously Rob at Pride Valence and, you know, and Gary at the Charlton Invicta, they're making huge strides in terms of getting the awareness out there, and it's proven to be a big success. And it's obviously showed out with the awards they're getting nominated for, and Tottenham won the award there. But look at the size of Tottenham and, you know, the backing they've got, and the, you know, Rob and, you know, everyone involved has done absolutely magnificent stuff, and obviously hopefully it continues to grow and be a huge success.
And yeah, so hopefully as well in the summer they'll be doing another football versus homophobia game. So we can get to strut our stuff on the Valley pitch again.
So you can take out Glove Pup.
Yeah, yeah, Glove Pup's on that pitch. I'm two-footing him straight away. Because he tackled me, embarrassed me at the game last season. And it's embarrassing. I mean, I fancy myself as quite like, I reckon if I was a free agent.
Like Ben Purrington, isn't
yeah, it? But I reckon I could come out, just be a bit steady. But no, Glove Pup ruined my career, and I wasn't pleased with that. Right, let's have a look ahead now. I think it's time to start gearing up. Saturday, Chris Powell's Southend are coming to the Valley to take on the Bayer side. Obviously, Charlton looking to get back to winning ways after the 1-0 defeat at home to, away to Fleetwood on Saturday. I spoke to Nick Alliker from BBC Radio Essex. You'll recognise him from the background of any goal we score at Roots Hall. You can just hear him shouting in the background. He's a really good chap, Nick. Knows his stuff. He knows the Blues. He's been covering them for years and years. So I caught up with him on the phone during the week to find out what we can expect from the Shrimpers on Saturday.
Southend's season thus far has been really good or really poor. They've done nothing in between. They've had so few draws, it's incredible. The lowest in the division. But they've won some good games, scored some really good goals. You might have seen that Charlie Kelman, the little 17-year-old who came on for Blues a couple of weeks ago on his league debut, scoring from his own half. They've scored a few goals, just scuffed them in. but they've also missed some, and they haven't been performing well in front of goal. Sometimes the strikers are struggling, but consistently inconsistent is probably the couple of words to sum up Southend's season so far, and that's why they find themselves in mid-table at the moment.
Yeah, because I see they went through a stage of 9 games in the league of winning one and then losing the next. So I guess Chris Powell struggling to find that formula to keep them going over and over.
Yeah, it was an incredible little sequence. And with 3 points being for the victory, it doesn't make it a disaster as far as the Blues are concerned with regards to that particular sequence. Had it been in the good old days when I remember first covering football, you just got the 2 points for a win, they might have struggled a touch. But yeah, because they get the 3 points for the win, it is meant they are where they are in the division. That said, they don't want any more defeats, to be honest. They don't want to go on a little run because they will be looking over their shoulders. And that is the concern from Southend United, from the players, from the fans, and indeed from the manager. I was speaking to him on BBC Essex just the other day, Chris Powell, and he was genuinely saying they've got to take care not to get dragged into that relegation fight. And that is what the fear is among some of the supporters. If they can't get a little positive run going, they'll be on a negative run, and that will mean them being dragged into the lower reaches of the League One table.
Because it's surprisingly tight in that bottom half of League One, and despite being in 12th, they are only 6 points above the relegation zone. It sounded like the game against Bristol Rovers on Saturday as well, obviously against a team that's struggled to perform so far this season. It sounds like that was a particularly disappointing one.
Yeah, they had a couple of poor results at home of Southend United. They were beaten by high-flying Luton Town, possibly as you'd expect, but it was a lack of fight that really disappointed the Roots Hall faithful. And then last time out on Saturday at Roots Hall in the 2-1 defeat against Bristol Rovers, they started really, really slowly, got back into the game a bit, but then just couldn't get an equaliser, which they so desperately wanted. And Bristol Rovers, as you say, they're a side struggling at the wrong end of the table. They were just one off the bottom at the start of play on Saturday. But they came to Roots Hall, managed now by the former Southend United assistant, Graham Coughlin, and took home the full 3 points back down to the West Country. Southend need to find a win from somewhere, or even a draw. The Blues faithful, who have not seen many draws whatsoever. What was it? 2 draws throughout the season. 1 away, 1 at home. Maybe sneak a point at the weekend and just try and get a little bit of momentum going. They have, though, been undone by injuries. And some of the fans are upset by to keep talking about injuries for Southend United. But to key players, they have been injured for long term. And that means the manager, Chris Powell, has struggled to get a really settled 11 going. And because they're missing the top-quality striker, as in Tom Hopper, just to use an example, that means they're not pushing at the right end of the table.
And how do the fans down there view Chris Powell? Because, of course, he's a Charlton legend, but he had a long playing career at Southend as well. So are they pleased with the job he's done so far?
Yeah, back in the day, he was a Southend United legend, probably still is a Southend United legend, to be honest with you. Played so many matches, several hundred for Southend United in his playing days. Great defender, really good quality player. Remember watching him play for the Blues and did superbly. Had a lot of success with Southend United. He's come back to the club now, just celebrated his first anniversary. He's got quite decent win percentage for Southend United over recent managers. That said, there are one or two supporters, and probably more than that, to be brutally honest, that are just raising questions about where the club's going this particular season. Well, I'd suggest they're going mid-table, and that's probably good news as far as the team is concerned this year, what with the injury problems and the like. There are one or two fans that are just grumbling a touch about the decisions that Chris Powell is making with regards to formations and tactics as well. So it's not 100% back, and it has to be said. That said, he's got the deck of cards and he's trying to play them the best he can. And if they can pick up maybe a success down at Charlton at the weekend, well, many of those fans will get back behind him, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting looking forward to Saturday when I don't think we want to see a repeat of the Battle of Roots Hall, the game earlier on in the season with the 3 red cards late on.
Yeah, you know, one hopes every day's on the pitch. You know, that said, you know, a good competitive match is what you want. Thankfully for Southend United, it's a near game as well. It's not a huge journey like we see so much in this division to the northwest. But for the supporters, they would like to come, and I know they are travelling in numbers, they would like to come down to the Valley, get a point at least, and come back home and get going again with the match coming up on Tuesday next week at Doncaster. But yeah, it is going to be, I think, a battle again, to be brutally honest, and Blues supporters hope they come back with something.
And how do you think Chris Powell will set up? I remember when he was the Charlton manager, particularly in the Championship, we used to be quite handy away from home. Now, Southend, quite true to their form all season, have been inconsistent on the road, 6 wins and 7 defeats. So do you think he'll set it up and make it quite difficult for Charlton to break them down?
He has been playing home and away with, and I think this is probably symptomatic of the players that he's actually got left at his disposal, a back five, two wing backs going forward, with the lively Elvis Buomono on one side and Sam Hart, who's recently been bought in on loan from Blackburn Rovers, on the other, and three centre backs, you know, John White, Michael Turner, and the highly influential loanee from Bristol City, Taylor Moore. He's been a real highlight over the last couple of months for Southend United. Behind them is the young goalkeeper, Nathan Bishop, who produced a stunning double save last time out at Rootsall. He's been playing three in the midfield and two up front. The vastly experienced Simon Cox and the recently purchased Stephen Humphreys. And if those two can get together and gel together, I'm sure that'll be all to the good as far as the Blues are concerned. Simon Cox, indeed, has been involved in many, many of Southend United's recent goals. The problem is, though, for Chris Powell and the team, they just haven't been enough. They need to get a few more and try and get going. But I don't think he'll be going, you know, to put 10 men behind the ball. I think he'll be going there with good attacking intent, and he wants to get off this recent blip of form, which has seen them lose the last couple of games.
Nick Callagher there from BBC Essex telling us what to expect from the Shrimpers. Chris Powell's side on Saturday. Yeah, really, really middling. And it's a weird stat. They're like the Tottenham Hotspur of League One with their lack of draws. Only 2 draws all season. So hopefully we won't draw with them and we'll get all 3 points instead.
You'd hope so, yeah. I don't think, like you said there, I don't think it's going to be as lively as the game was at their place, particularly the last few minutes. But it's a game, again, you'd hope to win. I think they've lost 3 of their last 4. But then that win was like a, was it 4-0? So they've got that result in them, but you'd hope this won't be one of them. And those 3 games they've lost, I think, have only been by the odd goal. So I personally expect it to be quite close, like it was again at their place. But yeah, they're not in brilliant form, and they're a side coming to a place, not only a club that are in decent form, the last result aside, but also a place where we've been very good. So yeah, with the crowd behind them, yes, Carlin's not here, but I think probably we'll go on to win the game.
I mean, if we are winning by like a goal or a narrow margin going into injury time, do you think we should bring Tariq Fosu on, get him to nut one of them, distract him like he did at the away game?
Could do, but it'd be out for 3 games, wouldn't he? And another it'd
be worth it for the 3 points, though, wouldn't it?
So. Well, saying that, I weren't there for the Southend game. I was out to go and watch Aladdin, but I know Tom commentating. I was actually going. I missed it because it must have been a bit of an experience. But yeah,
how was Aladdin?
Ah, don't get me started.
No, not going to swear.
Not my fan. Yeah, what's your
not a fan of the magic carpet.
Not musicals. Anyway, sorry.
Right, before we get too drawn down with Disney musicals, let's get back onto the football now. Of course, we want to look ahead to the game from a Charlton point of view. Lee Bowyer, of course, happy to get back on the training ground this week as they look to put last week's defeat up at Fleetwood behind them.
Yeah, yeah. I was never going to criticise them. They've given me everything, and Saturday was the same. I thought we was the better side, but it just didn't happen for us. Some things just didn't drop our way and all go our way. So, yeah, they're human beings, and that happens on the odd occasion, and we can't afford too many more of them. So, but yeah, I'm just glad to be back and a good week's training, and looking forward to having two home games because we just had two tough ones, two tough away games, and we probably didn't get the reward that we deserved on both games, I think. So yeah, but we go again and we've worked hard, and now we're ready for Saturday.
You've had a time to work with Josh Parker in a fixture-free week. Is he now familiar in the ways of Charlton?
Yeah, he's getting more understanding of the way we train, the way we play. We've done a lot of work on Tuesday, long session on Tuesday, and doesn't happen overnight. So, but yeah, the more he trains with us, the more he'll understand. So, but yeah, he'll get fitter and better. And the more we train, the more he'll understand.
Saturday's game will be the last you'll be without Lyle before he completes his suspension. I bet you can't wait for his return.
Yeah, it seems so long ago now. His red card, and it's been tough, you know. Like he's our top scorer, and he brings a lot more than that. Brings a lot more than goals, you know. And so it's been difficult without him. But we'll go Saturday, and then after that, then he'll be back in the side, and then we'll look a lot stronger again, I think.
On the other side of the coin, you're going to be without suspended Patrick Bauer on Saturday. That's another blow for you and disrupting the side.
Yeah, but it's one of them things. It happens, you know. The fella rolled him, pulled him down, second yellow card. It happens. It happens every week. People get booked and sent off for them type of fouls. So, but yeah, he's going to be a miss because the back four have done well recently. So, yeah, he's definitely going to be a miss for us. But we have Christian, and Christian can easily slot in there. So, yeah, but we'll be fine, I'm sure.
Sounds as though you've earmarked him already for that job.
Yeah, he's the only one. So, it wasn't difficult. But that's the luxury we have with bringing in Christian, you know, in the summer, that someone that can play centre-half, and then moved him into midfield as well, so he can do both roles. So, it's just good for us that because we've been playing in midfield, he's fit and ready and strong for Saturday.
What's the latest on Joe Aribo? I gather he's quite close now.
Yeah, he had a bit of a setback last week, had an injection on Friday. His knee reacted badly to the injection on Friday over the weekend. So we was hoping that he was going to be in the squad this weekend. But that isn't the case. So we've had to take a step back on him. But hopefully, this is the second week I'm saying it, but hopefully he'll be ready for next weekend. So, but yeah, he's been a big miss for us.
And big Valley favourite Chris Powell returns to the club on Saturday. The fans loved him. Do you think there'll be divided loyalties there?
No, Chris done well. Obviously a player here like I was, and he done a good job as manager. So, he deserves plaudits. I agree with that. Whenever someone does well for a football club, they deserve recognition for it, and he's no different. So it'd be good. I know Chris, I played with him as well. So it'd be good. And I hope he gets the cheer he deserves.
There we go, Lebo. You're making sure that Charlton fans will give a good reception to Chris Powell, though I'm sure they need no invitation to do that when he returns to the Valley on Saturday. A couple of, I was going to say headaches in terms of team selection, but in one case it pretty much picks itself, looking at the defence with Patrick Bauer obviously suspended for one game after his second yellow card. Got him sent off up at Fleetwood on Saturday. We've got Christian Billick as a ready-made replacement. And in my opinion, Tom, I think Billick's going back into his better position there.
Sounds like perhaps that's going to happen. But yeah, I think he's... I think he can play either, to be fair. I think what him playing at the back does is allow somebody else to come in and play at the base of the diamond, and then you've got two of those creative players there. It's kind of like when you've got Naby at centre back and Billick ahead of him, but I think with Billick and, say, a Cullen, there's so much creativity and hard work in that position that then it allows those players in front to just do that little bit more. And I saw someone post a clip of like Bielik's January highlights somewhere and was watching them on Twitter the other day, and he's such a good player and he's so vital to this team. And I remember, did he play base of the diamond against Southend there and got the goal?
Yeah, he did.
Won the game late on. That was obviously early on in his time with us, but he's just gone from strength to strength. And yeah, it's good that we've got someone like that that can come in when we're missing, obviously, Bauer and Pearce, who from start of the season would have been our nailed-on two centre-backs.
So then, obviously, that leaves some gaps to be plugged in the midfield. So we're thinking Cullen can play at the base of that diamond, so that's probably where he's going to go with that, and therefore it leaves the actual centre of the diamond, assuming he is going to play the diamond, up for grabs still. Because last week he didn't start with the diamond, same as at Peterborough, but he did revert to it. So I reckon he'll start with it this Saturday.
I can imagine he will. It'd be interesting how Pat, I mean, because I know Nick was saying he might go with three at the back. So whether or not he'll put Prattley at the bottom and then you can sort of switch into a three if need be. But yeah, I think Cullen, let him play, because I would imagine they're going to sit quite deep south end. So you're going to need, he's going to pick up the ball deep position and try and build the play. I'd play Reeves and Prattley or Lapsley. I'd probably go for Prattley at the moment.
We're saying Fosu on the bench at the moment, do you reckon?
I would play Fosu, but I know Tom would disagree.
I was saying I'd start him.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because he's not been brilliant this season. I just fancy him at some point he's going to have a good game. And I quite like Reeves coming off the bench as well. I think he's been quite decent off the bench, so I'd probably put Fosu in to start.
Fosu might be a little bit fired up as well, because we were joking about the ruckus earlier, but he was, you know, unfairly hacked to the floor. Obviously reacted with the headbutt, which you know, by the book, you probably
frowned upon.
Probably shouldn't have done it. so he might feel like he's got one to sort of get over on him.
He's just one of them players that you starting more and more. You're starting to see little glimpses of that player coming back, and like Nate just said there, on his day, you know he can do it, and we're so short of goals at the moment, I think it's worth a risk myself.
I just think sometimes he frustrates me sometimes with his back to goal. He's too slow sometimes in releasing the ball when he's got his back to goal. He needs to be going forwards a lot more. He seems to be picking the ball up from deeper positions, which I don't really like.
But on Saturday, a couple of times up at Fleetwood, he had the ball outside the area and actually worked space for a shot. I mean, his finishes weren't great. I think one of them went quite far wide and high as well. But you can see he's still got that eye for goal, that taste to get in. I mean, we forget that spectacular strike he scored against Gillingham here at the Valley just before Christmas as well.
Yeah, so it's not like he's done nothing this season. And he's obviously had his injury and we've had other players that have been playing in his position. So he's had to be patient. But when he's come on, he hasn't quite done enough. And I think he'd probably admit that himself. And I don't know if we ever really expected him to hit the heights that he did last season, because that was just exceptional from him. But you want him to get somewhere close to that. And like I said, I just think he has got that in him. And it's just one of them little feelings I've got that maybe if we put him in Saturday, he could grab a goal. But watch him start and get sent off after 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, headbutting someone. Imagine if he just went around and headbutted every single one of them because he couldn't remember who he got the fight in last time. Right, Sarah Saunders tweets in, just a quick question. I'm pretty sure that after the Fleetwood game, Lee Bowyer said we got what we deserved, which was nothing. But today he said that the players gave everything. Which one was it? Yeah, I did notice that he did change his tune slightly in the press day. Maybe it's a sort of a motivational thing or something, or maybe he just forgot how we played last week or something. But yeah, he did sort of say today at one point, I think he said that you could argue giving everything and not playing well aren't really the same thing, are they? Because I don't think there was a lack of effort last week. There was just a lack of quality, perhaps, or a lack of, generally a lack of a good performance that cost us last week, maybe. Right, one of the areas, of course, where we were struggling last week was up front. Rico Hackett Fairchild made his first league start on his own up top. At the start of the second half, or 5 or 10 minutes into it, Josh Parker came on. We went to the two up top with the dime in the midfield, which I think he's probably going to go for. But then it's the personnel that fills in. So we're looking at Igor. Is he fit enough to start a game? We're not sure. We're looking at Parker. He's played for a week now. He's not exactly been out of match practice because he's played a fair bit for Gillingham this season. And you're looking, of course, at Rico Hackett-Fairchild, who, as we've said, struggled. Or you could even play like the likes of Tariq Fosu up there if you had to. So, you know, apart from the Naby Sarr suggestion, which we go for every week, I mean, which way do you see that going, Nath?
I think he's got an option. I think it could be a possibility that puts Fosu up there.
I think if he does put him up there, I'd imagine he'd play Parker up top after Rico. I don't, you know, you're saying he weren't that great, which, you know, he's not had a lot of game time, but Parker starting up through the middle, Fosu could start either side, he can sort of drag out wide, go in the channel, try and pull their wing backs backwards. But I can see, I reckon he'll probably go with Rico and Parker personally, but it wouldn't be a bad thing if Fosu started up top, because you know he's got the pace, and I think that's what we lack.
Well, if Rico does start as well, you know, in front of a home crowd, he might feel a little bit more comfortable. He might have the monkey off his back of having played now last week and started, so, you know, he would feel a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, and I've only seen the highlights from last week. I wasn't there, but they kind of told me enough. I don't think he had a very good game, and from the sounds of the show on Sunday, everyone pretty much said the same. But it's harsh on someone to say that, because he's so young and it's his first game, and he wouldn't have expected to be thrown in like that. I remember him coming on against Plymouth early on last season, and he actually looked all right for the 10 minutes or so he got there. So, you know, he's got it in him. Like Nave said the other week, he just is a bit raw, like Carlin was back when we first played him. So, personally, I'd rather not start him. And it's no discredit to him. It's just that he's young and we need to be careful with him. I'd go with Fosu and Parker myself.
Right, 10 seconds each. What's your predictions, Tom, first up?
2-0 Charlton.
2-0 Charlton. Who's going to get the goals?
I think Parker and Fosu.
Nice. Nath?
1-1.
1-1, yeah. Charlton goal?
Josh Taylor.
Josh. that makes no sense to anyone who hasn't heard the full press day.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Nabs.
Nabs, yeah, excellent. Josh Taylor was inadvertently mentioned in the press day today, despite not existing, but that we edited that out for the sake of it. Right, we've run out of time here on Charlton Live, the big match preview. Thank you for listening all the way to the end as we look ahead to Saturday's home game with Southend. Tom, thanks for coming in.
Cheers, mate.
Nathan, turning up late and swearing. You can f*** can't you? thanks to the pair of you. I've been Louis Mendez. I hope you've enjoyed this evening's show. We'll be back here on Sunday evening to look back at whatever happens against Southend. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.